All right. Well, if you do want to grab your Bible, there's no need to open it right away, but this morning's going to be a little different, as Dave referenced. I'm going to speak for a few minutes, and then we're going to have a video sermon from John Adams, the executive director of Village Missions. He will be speaking mostly out of Philippians, is where he will be. Every year, Village Missions dedicates one Sunday as a day to remind churches and their congregations about why the mission of Village Missions is so important, and to encourage and to support, to raise awareness, to just get that idea that rural missions are such an important part of sharing the gospel, and rural America is such an important part of America. They dedicate this day to getting that message out there. It used to be called Village Mission Sunday. That's what I still call it. They've changed it, its name, to Focus on Rural Missions Form. And so I might go back and forth on that, but it's the same thing. Now, I don't think I really need to sell anyone in this room on the benefits of focusing on rural ministry and the importance of that, bringing the gospel to rural areas of North America. We're right here, you know. And so it's not a call, we need to be focusing on this. It's more of a, this is how Village Missions is partnering with and what is happening through those partnerships. There are many in this room who can tie their faith directly to the influence of Village Missions, or Dave can attest to AMF and the different, they kind of have that same idea ministry-wise. There's other individuals and organizations that a lot of you can point directly to, and that's why you are here worshiping Christ, is because of these organizations, these individuals with the passion and the call to rural missions. What I want to do is preemptively piggyback on the theme that John Adams is going to speak on, and his theme is partnership in rural missions. And so Village Missions is built on gospel partnership. VM does not run churches. They do not own churches. They do not plant churches or anything like that. They partner with the local church. I'm going to read this straight from the Village Missions website. Village Missions places spiritually qualified missionary pastors in churches at the invitation of local rural communities. These missionary pastors serve in a full-time capacity, preaching the word and loving the people. We support the leadership through prayer as well as financial and other logistical assistance. The idea in having a missionary pastor here in a full-time capacity is so that I'm not leaving every day to go into town to work 40 plus hours and then trying to fit ministry into that. Instead, my job is focusing on ministry, focusing on reaching out to the community, focusing on being a missionary and a pastor here in Bangor. And that's very important to Village Missions. They are in partnership with these local churches to equip the church and to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. This partnership is one of the biggest things in determining if Village Missions will partner with a field. They are not here to compete with other gospel-sharing, Bible-teaching churches. They are dedicated to ensuring that every community has a gospel presence. So if there were another church across the street right here that was sharing the gospel, and we reached out and said, hey, Village Missions, we want you to partner with us, they'd say, well, there's a church right next to you. We don't want to compete with that. But in a community like this was, when we called Village Missions back in 1967, there's no other gospel-sharing churches. There's no other gospel presence here in Bangor. And so, yes, we will partner with you and send missionary pastors to Bangor, California. One way it was described to me, and I'll adapt this to our specific situation, this really stuck with me. If Bangor Community Church were not here, if it had closed down years ago or something happened, many of us, many who are already Christians, would travel to Oroville or Gridley or Palermo or Rackerby or Marysville or wherever and would find a different church, and you would commute to church. But would a non-Christian go out of their way, get up early on a Sunday morning, drive all the way to Oroville to go to a church where they probably don't know anyone there and where the church worships a God that the person does not yet believe in? And the answer is that's not going to happen as a normal thing. With our church here, we've seen it happen, and some of us have been that person. You see this church day in and day out. You know somebody that goes here. You think about it a long while, and finally, God's calling, and you decide, yep, it's right here in town. It's not really out of my way. Yes, I will get up Sunday morning, and I will go to Bangor Community Church. That's why Village Missions partners with churches that don't have other gospel-sharing churches in their community, for exactly that reason. These are the communities that they do partner with, and they do so to equip our church as a church body, to equip our church as individuals to do the work of the ministry. Ministry as individuals into the community where people know that you go to Bangor Community Church and you are a representative of not only God, although that is the top point, but you are a representative of the church as well, so that they know, I know so-and-so goes there. So if I go there Sunday morning, I'll know a face when I walk in that door, or I'll know many faces when I walk in that door. They work to equip the church as a body, as a whole, so that we are prepared and presentable when somebody does walk in through that door, that we are welcoming and showing the love of Christ, that we are preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God, and showing the love of God to anybody that walks through those doors. Now, John Adams is going to talk about some of the different ways that we can partner together to help bring the gospel to rural communities. And he, like I said, he'll preach mostly out of Paul's letter to the Philippians. But before we turn him on, I want to share some of the practical ways that VM offers resources and some of the real life ways that we can see with our eyes that these partnerships have impacted lives here in our area. We'll start with Contenders Discipleship Initiative, CDI. Some of you already know about this. Some of you were able to help start taking advantage of this when we started the program before we shut down for COVID. Contenders Discipleship Initiative, again, this is from the Village Missions website, just how they describe it. It is a two-year program offered by Village Missions to equip Christians for ministry within their local church and to prepare those who are called for full-time ministry as missionary pastors. The CDI program is tuition-free and involves two components: biblical education and mentoring for ministry. Now, that may sound daunting, and you might be like, well, I'm not going into ministry, so what does that have to do with me? But the way that most churches go about it, the way that we went about it, and the way that is designed is that it's able to be done much more casually than it sounds there. The goal is the same, to equip each and every one of us to know our Bible more, to know it deeper, and to know how to know our Bible more. Taken as developed, if you complete these six courses, it's the equivalent of going off to Bible school. Taken as we have done it, and I'll get to in a minute, we will continue to do it. This is basically a class showing you how to understand what the Bible says and how to get deeper into it, how to pull out the information that God has for you in the Bible. This is offered for free, and it's not just to Village Missions churches either, but to anyone who wants to get online, go to that website, and to get to know their Bible better. When we were doing the classes here, we got halfway through the first class, hermeneutics, how to study the Bible. We are going to start these classes back up, I believe, in January, for those who've been asking for that. The first class, the first half of it, we've already gone over it. So we will go through it slightly accelerated. So if you've already taken it, it'll be a refresher as we continue in. If you have not already taken it but are interested, we will be going through it so you're not being left behind, and you're not going to be lost if you jump into it. So if you're interested in coming, don't let the fact that we've already done some of it stop you, because we'll be going back over it. Another resource I recommend, a website that Village Missions put together, vmchurches.org. This is a listing of all the Village Mission churches throughout the U.S. and Canada. It's what I used to put together the bulletin board back there with the pins. Those pins are all Village Missions churches across the country. And what it does is it goes through, it lists the missionaries that are serving on those fields. It gives the addresses of the church. It gives service times and sometimes more information as well about their church and their congregation. And this can be useful in a couple of different ways. If you are going on vacation and you want to know if where you are going, there is a Bible-based, gospel-preaching, solid church in that area, you can look up that location on the website and it'll tell you where the closest Village Missions church is. This also works if you're moving. You're looking for a new church in the area you're moving to. On that site, another way that it's useful, the missionary can provide links to the church's website, to their Facebook page or their Twitter handles. They can post links to the audio or the video of the sermons from the church. I personally enjoy, on those rare occasions when we have a quiet moment in the house, to go on and to listen to some of the other Village Missionary sermons. It helps me stay connected with what others are doing throughout the country. And that's important because each rural community is different. Each rural community has its own its own traditions, its own backgrounds, its own history, its own culture throughout the country. Even within the same general region, Northern California here, there's a number of Village Mission churches, and they all have different things that play into their ministry and what they're dealing with, the good and the bad, the successes, the obstacles, and all of that. The connection that these partnerships between Village Missions churches can have wonderful effects and benefits. I can give you two direct, specific examples. I was counseling one gentleman. We would meet together here on a regular basis and met together a number of times, and he was moving up to the Reading area. Now, Reading is one of those areas that, along with many faithful Bible-teaching churches, there are some very big, very prominent, very heretical churches in Reading as well. I was able to show him the VM Church's website so he could look for himself. And because I knew some of the pastors in those Village Mission churches in that area, I was able to recommend some of them specifically. I know this person. I know who they are. I know how they are. And I think that you would get along well with this pastor here. And he preaches the word. I know his style. And so I was able to recommend some of them very specifically to this gentleman. Another way that the partnership and connection work between Village Missions churches, we just saw in the last few months here with the Village Missions Church in Greenville. Many of you have been up through Greenville. You've been in it or through it. And Hope and I met the Hendrixes this past summer at the annual staff conference. When the fire ripped through and burned the town down, including the church and the parsonage, we have names and faces to put with the stories that happened up there. We see the news and the pictures on there, and we have names and faces and a very specific church body that we can picture and look at and pray for. Many of you, you've been through that. You know, your houses are burned, and you know exactly how to pray, exactly what to do. You've been able to give those prayers to them up there. We've been able to hear the answers to those prayers. Hope was able to talk to Janice. They formed a real connection. She was able to share, this is what we're going through. This is what is needed now. This is what will be needed later. This is how we need prayer. And in addition to, like I said, you guys knowing the prayers that you guys needed when that came through here. And so we were able to hear the answers to those prayers as well. And this happened because of your guys' generous hearts, your knowledge of what it means for the fire to rip through town. And it happened because the connection and partnership of two Village Missions churches and the missionaries there. And so these partnerships are so important. One of the things that ministry taught me that I knew, at least in my head, and I would verbalize it. But one of the things that ministry really taught me was the practicality of we can't do this on our own. God didn't create us to do it on our own. We were created for fellowship. We were created for community, and we are created for partnership. And that is, we are lucky enough to live in places that are, unfortunately, often easily forgotten. But God has not forgotten. God is with his people wherever they are. It is easy to see all the things going on in this world, and specifically in this country, where it seems like the church is losing, where it seems like people are running away from God and rejecting him in all that they do. But God is working. He is moving mightily, and the rural, forgotten places in this country are a big part of that. So I want to encourage you in that regard. Do not lose Do not lose faith in what God is doing. Just because we are a small community does not mean that God will not come through and that he is not doing a mighty work here. So I'll go ahead and start.
Hi, I'm John Adams, Executive Director of Village Missions, and I want to talk to you today from Scripture about gospel partnership and rural ministry. You ever faced a situation where the project was so big that it was just overwhelming? It might be cleaning up a friend's yard or home, or maybe it's bigger than that, and there's been a disaster, and you've stepped in to help rescue in a disaster situation. Maybe you've gone to work or school or even your church and realized that there needs to be a shift in the culture. Projects that size, like revitalizing a church in a rural community or helping a church that's turned inward reach out and reach their own community with the gospel, are enormous, so big that even when you recognize God's your partner, they're just too big by yourself. Well, I want to show you this image of a group of men who tackled a project that would be too big for anyone, building an entire barn. And this group of Amish men got together and went from the foundation up in one day and put together an entire barn. It required that teamwork, it required planning. But we can work together like that in ministry to accomplish more than we could ever dream of doing by ourselves. And I want to suggest to you that Scripture teaches that all ministry is really team ministry. It's not telling us we need to serve as a team. It's telling us if we're doing ministry, we are part of a team. And, of course, the first teammate is we work with God himself. I want to suggest that we're misreading Scripture if we imagine that ministry is something I do and other people watch. Ministry is a team commitment. So we work in partnership together. When a ministry is healthy or sustainable, it's done with a group of people who see themselves as partners in ministry, serving the Lord as a team. Many times, someone who is on the front lines of ministry, as a missionary, as a pastor, leading a church, often undervalues other people who are part of the team. Sometimes we can make the mistake of seeing those people as helpers and not just teammates. I'd like to see together from Scripture that we need a certain perspective about ministry in order to see ministry as God sees it. A partnership perspective. I want to look from the book of Philippians at five specific ways we can partner together in ministry and then see how we can put that into practice today to be effective as a team of partners in ministry. So the partnership perspective. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and chapter 6, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes these words to the Corinthian church. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Paul makes it really clear, as followers of Christ, we join in the work God is doing. We're partners with him in his work in the world. Would we be wrong to imagine ourselves inviting God to join us? Instead, he's invited us to join us as partners, as ambassadors, given us the work of reconciliation. All ministry works that way. We're joining in as team with God himself. Now, God doesn't only invite pastors and missionaries onto the team. He invites all followers of Christ to work with him where he's placed us. So we're partners in ministry. You who are watching this video, all of us at Village Missions are partners in ministry, even if we're serving in different locations, because we're part of the great work God is doing around the world. We've joined with him in his good work. I'd like to look at the book of Philippians because the Apostle Paul addresses the Philippian church and talks about how they've been partners in ministry long term. And he gives some specifics about what that ministry looks like. It begins at the start of the book, chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And you might recall from the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he ended up in Philippi very quickly, got arrested, and then a revival broke out at midnight in jail. And the Philippian jailer put his trust in Christ as God opened all the doors of that jail. The church grew from there, and Paul stayed for a while and taught those folks, and they saw themselves as partners in ministry with the Apostle Paul. When he went on from there, they sent him out, and they supported him. He talks about their enduring partnership in verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. So if Paul is doing ministry, these folks are a team with him. They're people he loves, even though he's not seeing them in person. He's across the Mediterranean region. But they're a team together. And then he unpacks how that works. But as we join in God's great work, we really should see ourselves as partners in ministry. Brothers and sisters who've been bonded together as part of God's family to do his work in this world. Ministry, all ministry, is done as partners with God. So how does that partnership show up in the Apostle Paul's ministry? What does it look like? Well, there are five possibilities that show up in the book of Philippians. And I want to walk us through each one of those. I'm just going to share a couple of verses for each one of those ways we could partner. And we're only looking at the book of Philippians. There are many other places we could go in Scripture, but for the sake of time, we'll narrow our focus here. We're partners who go beyond sending money. That is part of partnership, but it's only one part of partnership. It's often the first one we think about, but there are many other ways to join together in a work of ministry. We're partners together as we invest time and energy, we pour our heart into, we use our skills, and we contribute financially in doing the work of ministry. Well, the first one that shows up right at the beginning of the book is learning about the ministry as it occurs. We're partners when we know what's happening with the person we're praying for. So the Apostle Paul describes that in chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Paul's writing this letter so they would learn what's happening as he does ministry. And he's assuring them that in spite of persecution and suffering and now rest, the gospel is advancing. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul writes so they'll know and learn what's happening in the work of ministry. He is eager for them to learn. They've been concerned for him in ministry, and he's eager for them to understand what's happening. And he puts it in context. I'm suffering, but the gospel is still advancing. The work God has called us into is still going forward. Then down in chapter 4, verse 10, he writes these words. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. In response to sending Epaphroditus and his ministry for them, Paul is communicating, I know you've been concerned. You had an opportunity now to express that concern. You learned I had a need, and you stepped up to meet it. Learning often is the first way we participate in a ministry. Think about how it works most of the time in a church setting. Someone comes and they share what God has called them to do as a missionary or pastor or church planner, and that touches our hearts, and we join in that ministry. So learning is one way we partner together, leads to other ways to partner. A second one that shows up just sequentially in the book of Philippians, is praying for each other. Chapter 1, verse 19. I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul credits them as partners with him in prayer. They pray, the Holy Spirit of God works. We don't understand exactly why God chooses to work that way, but he does. As they pray, God works, and results are accomplished. Results beyond their ability. I mean, here's Paul as a prisoner in the Roman Empire who will be released because these folks have joined in praying, and God has worked. In chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Which is a form of prayer, celebrating, you're praising God. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. But do not be anxious for anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we pray for one another, as we bring our requests, so petitions and requests, as we praise God for how he's answered, as we thank him for his faithfulness and his character, God works. We're partnering together. If you ask frontline pastors and missionaries, would you rather have someone give financially or pray for you? Those who are thinking rightly would take prayer first, even when finances are an important need. We want people to stand with us spiritually as well as financially or in service. So the Apostle Paul celebrated. He prayed for them, and they prayed for him, and he urges them to pray not only for him, but all of the needs they encounter as partners with God in his great work. So learning, number two is praying. The third one we see is sharing, or explaining to others about the need that God has placed in front of us, an area of ministry we care about. Chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, this doesn't sound like sharing, but that's sharing with your life. As you live out what you claim to believe, other people see the reality of the gospel. He goes on, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. In this case, they have been sharing by how they live and by their reputation throughout the first century world that the gospel has changed their lives. Paul has come and been a part of God's work in leading them to faith, and now they're sharing the gospel with other people. So we're partners together when we're sharing the good news, when we're sharing about the need that we hear or see. So learning, praying, sharing. The fourth way we can partner together that appears in this passage is serving. Now first, Paul instructs them to serve one another. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Find ways to meet the needs of people around you. Serve as a representative of Jesus Christ. The church did that, and Paul encourages them to continue, but they also considered his needs and were interested in serving him. Chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Paul says, I hope in the Lord. To send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. That's learning. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. So Paul wants to serve the Philippian church by sending Timothy to help teach them, care for them, shepherd them, pastor them. Moving down just a little bit in that same chapter, verses 25 and 26. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you...
try to do things to prevent that.
All of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Paul is sending back Timothy to pastor, to lead that church, and Epaphroditus, who's come from that church. They'd sent Epaphroditus to serve Paul. Now Paul is sending both of those men back to serve that church. It's partnership, and service flows both ways in this case. And then finally, a fifth way we can partner together, and that is financially or in giving. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. It was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, so financially, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Paul values their partnership financially, but he's made it really clear in this book, this letter to the Philippians, that financial partnership is one piece of a multifaceted partnership together in the work of the gospel. Partners invest together in God's work. He's invited us into his family. He's commissioned us as partners together in ministry. And there are a whole array of ways we can serve together until Christ returns. So why and how should we partner together today? Well, partnership is not just a first century activity. Partnership is a biblical activity. It's how Scripture describes us coming together to work with God and to work with one another. We're to serve as part of the body of Christ, as a team, to use whatever gifts and abilities and finances and time the Lord has given us. I believe that the Holy Spirit directed so many descriptions of partnership into this one book, not just to illustrate here's what could be done, but to teach us here's what we should be doing as partners in ministry, to see ourselves as partners together in God's work, to see ourselves as people who work side by side, hand in hand, to accomplish what God's called us to do. The task is too large, the work is too important to try to tackle it individually. So how do we do that? Well, I think there are two sides of the coin when we think about putting these passages into practice. If we're the ones on the front line doing the work of ministry, one of the ways we need to apply this is to look around and see who God has put in partnership with us already. We should not see ourselves as isolated islands unto ourselves, serving the Lord all by ourselves. But we're a part of a team. Even if that team is not really present in the same location with us, we're a part of a team. People who are praying for us, contributing financially, learning, sharing, maybe even coming and serving alongside of us. If we're not on the front line, we should remember that God has invited us to team up with other people to advance the kingdom, to do the work on the front lines of ministry. If God touches your heart with something, then choose to partner with somebody who's ministering in that area. God who sees your investment is the same God who will reward it forever. So he invites us into that work. As we think about rural North America, there are around 150,000 churches in small towns and rural communities in North America. Well, in the United States alone, there's an additional number in Canada. And they need a church that's viable and vibrant in their community to show and then share the good news of Jesus. They need somebody in that community to demonstrate the love of Christ in a way that's credible. Now, an awful lot of people in rural communities across North America do not believe that the gospel makes sense. They've seen too many people who've claimed the name of Christ and then lived as if Jesus had no influence in their life. They've claimed to be followers of Christ, but they've lived as if they were in charge. They've lived as hypocrites. And they need to see, if they're going to believe the gospel, they need to see someone living that out authentically. Think for a moment what the gospel asks of people who are hearing it as adults. They need to look back at their life and say, how I've lived up to this point is false and foolish. And I need to turn from what I've been doing to commit my life to follow Christ. That's a big adjustment. And it requires a reason to make that kind of change. Yes, the Holy Spirit draws people to himself, but he doesn't do that independent of a gospel witness. God chooses to use our lives and our words to give credibility so that the Holy Spirit can open the eyes of someone and bring them into his family. So small towns and rural communities need someone who's living out their faith. And across the northern part of the United States, up and down the West Coast, and all across Canada, there are many communities. Often when a community is less than 1,000 people living in that community, there's only one Bible church, if any. Typically, that Bible church is struggling to keep the doors open. They're struggling to find, or if they can find, a pastor, struggling to afford the costs so that that person can serve full-time as a missionary and a pastor in their community. As a ministry that focuses on rural communities like that, we need partners in ministry. We need people who learn about the need, who pray. So I want to give you some application for rural ministry, to what partnership looks like. We need people to pray for those who are serving as missionary pastors on the front lines, so that they can be enabled to serve the Lord full time. The task is greater than their ability. A part of their work is developing a team of people in that church family who will reach their community with the good news of Christ. So you can pray that God would send more pastors to rural communities. In a rural community, if there's only one Bible church and that pastor retires or leaves for some reason, it impacts that church much more significantly than in a large town or city. Many pastors at this point are not training to go to rural ministry. So you could pray that God would raise up people who would commit their lives to serve in a rural community, to go where others are not going, to share the gospel with folks who need to see the reality of Jesus lived out and then hear the good news about him. So praying is one way we can join in ministry. The second way is to learn. If you know somebody who's serving as a pastor in a rural community, find out what they're doing. Sign up for their prayer letter. If you don't know somebody, go to the Village Missions website, and we'll tell you about a lot of pastors in rural ministry. Be happy to share their stories with you. If you are in a rural church and you're serving there, remember you're not alone. You have partners. Look for who God has placed in your life, who you can partner with, and join with them in God's work. Number three, share. You know, a large percentage of the church in the United States is blind to the reality that there are many communities in many states where there's not a church in every corner, and certainly not a Bible teaching one. A lot of people labor under an impression that's 60 to 100 years old, that in every little town there's a Bible church and the church is helping and growing and reaching their community. In many places, that's not the case. And where it is true, if that church were to close down, it's often 20 to 50 miles to the next church that will teach the Bible. Now, a believer, if their church closed, a Christian might travel 20 to 50 miles to go to church and join with another church family. But how will the people in that community where the church has closed ever see the gospel lived out? And they're very unlikely to drive that kind of distance to go hear about a Jesus they don't yet believe in. That community needs to see the gospel lived out. And that's a need we can share with others, to make them aware of the need in our own country for rural churches that are healthy and vibrant and reaching their community with the gospel. A fourth way you can get involved is serve. There are more opportunities to invest in ministry than you might have anticipated. I'll give you just a few examples. One of those would be to share resources. It's not uncommon for a larger church who's done a VBS program to have a lot of supplies and materials they won't use again next year. That entire program could be packed up and taken to a small rural community in partnership with them and either allow them to use those resources or come and help them put on a VBS in their community. And we've had many rural churches where something just like that has happened. Another way is for pastors to swap pulpits. One of the first impressions about rural churches is that pastors who are not really A-team end up in small communities, and that's false. There's some excellent communicators of the gospel who live and serve in relatively small communities. Pastors could swap pulpits, or they could send a work team. It could be a joint project built on the needs of that rural or small town church. Another possibility is for a larger work to send a traveling outreach team. If you are an elder or a retired pastor in a larger church, you could communicate with pastors in your region. If you're serving as a rural or small town pastor, it's difficult to have somebody who can step up and handle scripture faithfully in your community. And you could communicate with them, get to know one another, and be a part of filling in when that pastor needs some vacation time. Fifth, and often the first one we think of, financial needs are significant. As a mission, a big part of what we do is provide salary support so a missionary pastor can serve full-time to help that church be vibrant and be out in the community sharing the gospel and not need to slice out a chunk of their schedule in order to work a second job to make ends meet. We want them to be able to focus on the work of ministry, not just how am I going to feed my family. The needs are great. The communities are very diverse. We could be overwhelmed with the size of the task. As a mission, we're in partnership with 200 churches across the United States, another 30 or 35 in Canada, and the needs are much greater than that. We could be overwhelmed, but remember that Amish barn raising event. Task of building an entire barn by ourselves would be impossible in a day. But with a large group of people committed to the work who've come together with some planning and preparation, that barn goes up and is finished in just one day. We can work like that as partners together. And we are partners, so we should choose to join together in the work of the gospel. We will have an increasing impact throughout eternity as we work together than we would have if we chose to work alone. We're partners in the same work. We've joined God's team to do what he intends us to do. We'll serve better together. We'll serve longer and more effectively together. So invest your life as God directs with the partners he gives you. And remember that nothing you do as a partner for the Lord will ever be wasted. Let me pray. Lord God, I pray for everyone who hears this message and reads these passages, that you would draw them closer to your will for their lives as partners together in your great work. Lord, thank you that you're the one who provides direction. Much of it you've given through Scripture. Lord, help us put those truths into practice as we live as your children and partners in your great work of sharing the gospel in the communities to which you send us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you guys for bearing with the brief whatever that happened there. Just before we get into the song, if you guys have any questions or whatever in regards to Village Missions, you can always ask me. If I don't know the answer, I'll find the answer. We do have some literature and some stickers and some more pens on the table right on the other side of the doorway right here. So, you know, help yourself to that. And that gives the literature there gives a lot of stories about some of the specific village missionaries, what they're doing, what Village Missions is doing, all through God's grace and all through the power of God. So, thank you. Do you want to have them do first before the song? Okay.